Welcome to episode 508 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. In the Bible, the word consecration means the separation of oneself from things that are unclean, especially anything that would contaminate one's relationship with a perfect God. Consecration also carries the connotation of sanctification, holiness, or purity. Note that God says that we are to be consecrated because He is holy. The importance of being consecrated or pure in our relationship with God is emphasized in an incident in the book of Joshua. After 40 years in the wilderness, the children of Israel were about to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. They were then given a command and a promise. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." God told the people of Israel to wait 3 days at the shore of the Jordan River. All that time, the people of Israel saw a rushing river, swollen with spring rains, lie in front of them. They must have asked, "How can we ever cross this river?" It was one thing for a few spies to make their way across, as happened in Joshua 2. But here we are talking about a nation of millions with all their possessions. How will they make it safely across? Joshua didn't send his Army Corps of Engineers first. Instead, he sent the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, which was the visible representation of God's presence with the people. Joshua knew this was a spiritual problem, not a feat of human engineering. Because this would be a spiritual battle, Joshua required that the people have a spiritual preparation. The people of Israel were often instructed to consecrate themselves in preparation to meet with God. Sanctifying or separating oneself often included bathing, washing one's clothes, and temporarily abstaining from sexual relations. You can see Exodus 19 verses 14 to 15. In ancient times, water was considered a luxury and wasn't used often for personal hygiene. The bathing and changing clothes symbolized making a new beginning with the Lord. The picture here is that sin is defilement, and we have to be cleansed before we can truly follow God. Upon consecrating themselves, the children of Israel were assured of God's promises. The Lord promised that He would do amazing things among them. Just as He opened the Red Sea to deliver them from their Egyptian bondage, He would open the Jordan River and take them into the Promised Land. In fact, this was just the beginning of the miracles God would perform for them in the conquest of the Promised Land. It's no wonder the psalmist declares in Psalm 77 verses 13 to 14, "Your ways, O God, are holy." What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. Another good example of consecrating oneself is that of David. Upon confessing his sins of adultery and murder, the prophet Nathan confronted David concerning his sin with Bathsheba and pronounced a judgment against the king. 2 Samuel 12 verses 15 to 19. After Nathan went home, God afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he came down sick. David prayed desperately to God for the little boy. He fasted, wouldn't go out, and slept on the floor. The elders in his family came in and tried to get him off the floor, but he wouldn't budge. Nor could they get him to eat anything. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him. They said, "What do we do now? While the child was living, he wouldn't listen to a word we said. Now with the child dead, if we speak to him, there's no telling what he'll do." David noticed that the servants were whispering behind his back and realized that the boy must have died. He asked the servants, "Is the boy dead?" "Yes," they answered, "he's dead." How David reacted to this news must have been surprising. Verse 20, "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. Later, David is able to sing, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." He says in Psalm 24, verses 3 to 4, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Psalm 51 is David's confession of his sins of adultery and murder. Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In David's confession, he entreats God to purge him with hyssop. Other versions replace the word purge with wash, cleanse, or purify. The Bible mentions hyssop several times, mostly in the Old Testament. In Leviticus, God commanded his people to use hyssop in the ceremonial cleansing of people and houses. In one example, God tells the priests to use hyssop together with cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and the blood of a clean bird to sprinkle a person recently healed from a skin disease, likely leprosy. This act would ceremonially cleanse the formerly diseased person and allow him to re-enter the camp. The same method was used to purify a house that had previously contained mold. Hyssop is also used symbolically in the Bible. When the Israelites marked their doorposts with lamb's blood in order for the angel of death to pass over them, God instructed them to use a branch of hyssop as a paintbrush. This was probably because hyssop was sturdy and could withstand the brushing, but it also likely signified that God was marking his people as pure and not targets of the judgment that he was about to deal out to the Egyptians. Hyssop also appears at Jesus' crucifixion, when the Roman soldiers offered Jesus a drink of wine vinegar on a sponge at the end of a stalk of hyssop. This was, in fact, Jesus' last act before he declared his work on earth finished and gave up the ghost. While the hyssop stalk may have been used for purely practical purposes, that is, it was long enough to reach Jesus' mouth as he hung on the cross, it is interesting that that particular plant was chosen. It is possible that God meant this as a picture of purification, as Jesus bought our forgiveness with his sacrifice. Just as in the Old Testament, blood and hyssop purified a defiled person, so Jesus' shed blood purifies us from the defilement of our sins. The Bible tells believers to be holy people, separate from the world. "Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Being consecrated is a critical component in our relationship to God and to those in the world. Paul tells us in Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." In other words, as true believers in Christ, the act of consecration involves our lives being a living sacrifice to him. We are totally separated from the defilement of the world. Each day we are to live out our lives as holy and royal priesthood to the glory of God, for we are now God's people. Father, purify our hearts and our minds so that we can be consecrated to you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.